This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. As we roll along on a Tuesday morning, the start of the Western Conference Finals will be tonight. As I mentioned earlier, the draft lottery will take place this evening as well. Teams will be vying for that number one pick, the right to get Zion Williamson. Ja Morant is going to be in there. RJ Barrett is going to be in there as well. There'll be another among the prospects if you don't get Zion Williamson. But nevertheless, listen, I love the draft lottery. I think it's a fun little gimmick. I think it's kind of cute. But the playoffs of the NBA... Tonight, Golden State taking on Portland. No Kevin Durant tonight. Portland coming off a good series. I would say tough, but hard fought is a better term than tough. Because both teams, I mean, the fact that Rodney Hood got hurt, it probably makes it tough. But it was a good, evenly matched, well-played at times series with the Denver Nuggets. Sometimes it kind of lacked a little bit, but the competitiveness was really there with the Nuggets. But Portland playing Golden State, and we talked about how the Warriors are a team that with four straight NBA finals, three NBA championships, could have been four if LeBron and company don't make that comeback down 3-1. There's a little bit of fatigue in there, right? We admire dynasties. We just don't want you to dominate. We want you to kind of bring back. But does Portland elicit the kind of anybody but Golden State out of the West? Does Portland elicit that? Well, you know, Damian Lillard, for a lot of people that don't get to watch him on a regular basis, the CJ McCollum, this is a pretty good, fun basketball team. The couple of times that I saw them, and I watched most of the series against the Nuggets, I'm not going to tell you that I watch Portland on those late nights when it's a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night at TNT, the second half of the game. They're playing the Lakers or whatever with a 10:30 start. But I saw enough of them in this postseason, the Nuggets, to say, listen, I've got a lot of respect for Portland. I think the Trailblazers are going to win this series. Now, I would know I was wrong on the Nuggets, but I love the way I just like the way they look. I like the way they play. I like the way they just use up that, you know, the 48 minutes of basketball to be as efficient as possible. But Golden State is what they are. Even without Kevin Durant, they're a tough out in seven games. They're nearly an impossible out in seven games. Western Conference Final starts tonight.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Yesterday, the news of John Beilein going to the Cleveland Cavaliers was kind of shocking. Not the shocking of the hiring. I think it's a good hire for Cleveland. It's just shocking that Beilein would leave what has been a successful run at Michigan to go to the NBA.
I guess
at 66 years old.
It's shocking to see a successful college coach, regardless whether it's football or basketball, making the jump to the next level.
Yeah, it's...
We don't see it. We used to see it all the time, but we're not seeing it anymore.
Yeah, it's kind of slowed down a bit. But he had a chance to be, you know... stay there forever. I mean, he got them to two national title games. Michigan is always a contending team. I mean, I read this early this morning. He's never been fired since he got into coaching in 1975 as a junior varsity coach. He has never been fired from a place. He's just always moved up. Yeah, got a job at, he was 39 years old, got a job at Canisius. Thought he would stay there forever, but I think we all do. Like when we hit, there's a certain point in someone's career where you reach a pinnacle or not a pinnacle, but you reach a point where you like it. You say, oh, I'm now a Division I coach, or I made it to this station, or I made it, you know, to executive vice president. You don't think you'll ever leave the company. But sure enough, he went on to Richmond. He went on to West Virginia and now Michigan. He's never been fired. And a couple of interesting things stand out about Beilein, which makes what Cleveland was looking for really interesting. Remember, the Cavaliers are going to be building a team around youth, right? They got Colin Sexton in the draft from Alabama. They're going to have a top pick in the draft. They may not have the number one pick, although they have a 14% chance to get it along with the Knicks and the Phoenix Suns. But regardless, I mean, they're going to have one of the top talents coming in. And what Beilein does, and one of the things that Beilein is known for, is taking you and making you better as a player, right? Taking you to the next level. Michigan didn't have a lot of guys go to the NBA until Beilein arrived. Now they have a lot of guys that go to the NBA since Beilein arrived. Now you could argue the level of effectiveness of the Michigan players in the NBA, but nevertheless, he's still got them there. But that's what he does. And he's not John Wooden. He doesn't wax poetically on things or have philosophies on life. He just knows how to coach basketball. And if that's what you want, if that's what you go to Michigan to be coached by John Beilein, he will make you better. One of the Michigan players was quoted as saying, you know, it's not a father figure. It's not a friend. It's business, but it's business in the way that he cares about your development so much that he becomes like a father figure just through that alone. Just the fact that he cares so much about you becoming a better basketball player, that's how you love him. You just don't love him because he's your coach. You love him because he's giving you something. And that something is you've noticed a dramatic improvement in the way you see basketball, the way you play basketball, and the way you understand basketball. And that could translate well to the next level, but it also can be it also can stymie you a little bit in the NBA. It's great that the Cavaliers will have young talent to build around what Beilein wants to do, but this is his first foray into this. It's not like a lot of guys, when you look at their backgrounds, right, you get like especially a guy who's 66 years old, you'll look at their backgrounds and it'll be like, at this college for a bit, this college for a bit, assistant coach with the New Jersey Nets, right? Assistant coach with the Miami Heat, and then back to college, and then head coach, and then a head coach. He doesn't have that. He's never done anything in the NBA at all. Now, he's a smart guy. It's not like Beilein can't adjust to what the NBA is, but the biggest adjustment isn't going to be, well, they do a lot of isolation in the NBA, so I better learn how to coach that. He knows that. Like, he knows how to do that. He's always been able to adapt what he does as a basketball coach. Whether it's, I'm going to do a 1-3-3-1 defense here, I got to play man-to-man here, or I got to, this year we're going to do better with zone, whatever it is that you do. He's always been willing to adjust that. What the problem is, what the issue is when you are 66 and kind of set in the way you see players is, can you adjust to seeing players not as student athletes, if you will, that I'm coming at you 19 and raw and you can develop me into a star? What do you do when you're dealing with grown men who are professional basketball players? And how do you react to them and how do they react to you? Because if what you're really good at is getting young players and getting the best out of all your players, that's great. But there's also guys that don't want you to mess with them, right? They don't want you to mess with their game. And how does he respond to that? The guys, the free agents that are going to come into Cleveland, they're like, look, I just tell me what plays to run and let me run the plays. And I wonder how that's going to play out. I think it's going to be positive. I think it's a good hire for Cleveland. Beilein is such an amazingly respected coach that I think it's going to work. But like I said, it's not surprising that the Cavs hired Beilein. That's not surprising. It's surprising that Beilein wanted to go to the NBA. That's a difficult. The trade-off, there's two sides of going from college to. I remember with Brad Stevens, it was like this. When you're in college, you deal with recruiting, right? You're selling yourself, you're selling your program. Right. Then you have the you're dealing with one and dones. You're dealing with transfers. You're dealing with transfers in, transfers out. You're dealing with athletic budgets. You're dealing with athletic directors. I mean, there's a lot of people somewhat to answer to. Not only that, but the school president, et cetera, et cetera. The NBA, it's an 82 game schedule. Right. It's a longer, not only a longer schedule, it's a tougher schedule. You're on the road a lot more. It's, you may not be recruiting, but you are enticing free agents, right? You are enticing people to come be part of your basketball team. You're dealing with contracts, you're dealing with salary caps, you're dealing with a general manager now that can put limitations on the players you'd like to bring or the players you'd like to keep on your team and stay, right? Guy, you may fall in love with the player and the way, what he can do for you, but his contract may be an albatross and he's got to go. You may deal with an owner that has a little bit more influence on the way things are. Spurrier hated that, right? Spurrier, for example, couldn't went to the NFL, really wanted to see what he could do in that league, couldn't stand working with Dan Snyder. To Spurrier, it just wasn't what he was used to all those years in college. He wasn't used to having an owner. Are you kidding? The guy that writes the checks. Like, he was dealing with employees of the state, right? Your athletic director may be your boss, but he's an employee of the state. Your school president is still the same, is maybe your boss, but he's an employee of the state. An owner is an employee of nothing, right? He owns the team. He calls the shots. He writes the checks. Some coaches can make that adjustment, think they can make that adjustment, and some can't. But beyond that, what the Cavaliers are getting in Beeline is probably what they need. Right. A guy that develops guys and knows how to develop guys and is really good at that. And not only so, he's so good at that, that Michigan has, again, a formidable force in college basketball for a long time because of him and because of what he brings. But I would have been, Ann Arbor's a comfy place to be for a while. You can be there 20, 30 years, man. I mean, 30 years is a long time, but maybe 20 years. He's been there 12 already. And what's another eight? Right.
I know, it must be, you're living in a college town where everything, assumably is a little bit more affordable. Size of the house that you can have. It'd be tough to leave that environment.
College
towns. It's comfortable.
Towns.
Yeah, it's comfortable. I mean, you have, I guess one of the hardest things, too, would just be, you're able to grab the guys you want.
That's pretty much right. Yeah, exactly. And again, you don't have to. You can recruit, and as long as the recruiting falls within all the right academic parameters and all that other stuff, you're making your pitch and you're confident in your pitch. In the NBA, guys may want to play for you, but they just can't. They can't take a lesser deal.
Now, if he flames up, what's the likelihood that he can return? Because a lot of times we don't see when they make the jump, they're not able to go back to their same university. I mean, you look at Rick Pitino. He had a cush job at Kentucky and then said, I'll take my talents to the NBA, and then flamed out there and couldn't get back to Kentucky.
No, it's hard to get back to the school you were once at. Spurrier tried that, right? And Spurrier tried that. He went to the NFL and then he wanted to go back to Florida. And I think Florida said no. Florida, I think, said, we're going to move on. And they ended up with Urban Meyer, which ended up being a bad pick.
That was fine.
But imagine if you're a Florida fan, and Lord knows I've lived with them, but imagine being a Florida fan and you want Spurrier, because who's this guy from Utah we're getting with the weird first name? I mean, what is he? Like, listen, and I remember...
What's his name out in the country? Is it Rural? That's his brother's name, right?
You know me, Ron. I'm wrong on so many things, it's not even funny. Denver.
you sure there's not Rural Meyer?
Yeah, right. And I remember the one thing I got right in my broadcasting career is I had a heated argument with a co-host when Urban Meyer was going to Florida. And I said he was going to be successful because I watched him at Utah. And my friend said, there is no way a Mountain West coach is going to Florida, and being successful in the SEC, that run and gun Alex Smith offense that he was running would be eaten alive by the defenses in the SEC. And lo and behold, he was right that first year. That first year, that offense was that was getting beat up. But eventually Urban Meyer took over. So you can imagine Florida fans not knowing who Urban Meyer is, not thinking that that football exists outside of the state or the region of the Southeast, let alone Utah of all places. And you want Spurrier back, but the school said no. The school said, no, we got to move on. We can't keep, this can't be your landing spot. You elected to leave. Now you get to leave. So it's hard to go back to the school. It's easy to go back to the sport, right? John Calipari was at UMass, went to coach the Nets, didn't work out of the NBA, went back to college basketball, now is uber successful. But it's hard to go back to the school. I'm trying to remember if anybody's ever done it and done it well in whatever sport, football or
basketball. I can't think of anybody.
If anybody's ever just... But, you know, I always thought that with Beilein, because he was at Michigan so long, I thought, you know what? There's no other place in college basketball. I mean, Kentucky, I guess. I mean, I know there's always that, and there's always UCLA, I guess. But, you know, Michigan is a pretty amazing place to be, right? Listen, no offense to West Virginia. West Virginia is a great school. But if you're the head coach of West Virginia, you can see yourself going, all right, there's greener pastures somewhere else. But Michigan, find me another school that is head and shoulders above Michigan. I mean, they got all the money in the world. It's one of the power athletic programs in the country. And he's taking a risk. At 66, I mean, this is a lifelong college coach who knows nothing else but the college way of doing business. And this is an entirely different animal. The basketball is basketball, right? It's still, the dimensions of the court are still the same. It's still 10 feet high, kind of go the Hoosiers route, right? But the business is dramatically different. That's what I'm wondering. How do you make the adjustment? If he was 36, I'd be like, good, God bless you. Good luck. Go, you know. But 66, that's a big age to be making a big leap. Big change. All right, 800-777-2907. As we continue along on SB Nation AM, we'll have the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up in 15 minutes as we roll along on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you've been with us. SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. Rolling along on a Tuesday, good, the bad, the dumb, coming up in about 10 minutes. You don't want to miss that. It's one of the best parts of my morning. When your battery goes dead, everything comes to a stop. So don't risk it with a dead battery. O'Reilly Auto Parts provides free battery testing. So why don't you just go there? If your battery does need to be replaced, the professional parts people can find the exact battery that fits your car or truck with free installation. That's free installation. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So who do you think is going to win the draft lottery tonight, Ron Culver? Who's your money on?
The fans.
Oh, good. That's a good answer. Here you go. The Knicks, Cleveland, Phoenix, Chicago, Atlanta, Washington. They have like a 6% chance. Dallas, Memphis, Pelicans, Minnesota, the Lakers, Charlotte. So there you go. I just think the Knicks are going to win it.
I do too. But it's that wouldn't be considered controversial, I guess, since they're in the running. I mean, what, I think the Suns have the best chance, right?
Maybe slightly. I guess it's 14% between the Suns, Knicks, and Cleveland. Small statistical.
All right, here's a thought process for you. Could it be Cleveland now?
Could be. What about Cleveland?
I mean, they just got their new head coach. Why not give him a new franchise player?
Yeah, why not? Since we've adopted the Browns as America's football team, just why not give Cleveland the number one overall pick in the draft again? Let him get Zion Williams.
Pair him up with Kevin Love's still on that team, right? I forget who's.
Yeah. I couldn't say that.
We don't even remember who's on the Cavaliers anymore. Would LeBron go back to Cleveland?
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine that? They had Zion. He'd be like, oh, really? Oh, wait a minute. What am I doing here?
L.A. sucks. I'm going back.
Yeah, I'm out. We can't even find the coach I like.
The fans were protesting.
Frank Vogel.
Yeah.
I like Frank Vogel, too. He's good at Indiana.
Yeah. I just
He didn't work out in Orlando, but he did good in Indiana.
I wouldn't have accepted that deal, though, because, you know, you're taking a job with a backup head coach right on your heels.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's just like begging for, you know, fire me, please. It's just, I could never. I mean, it'd be like you or I taking a job with another guy just sitting right behind us, you know, with a microphone in his hand, just waiting to plug in.
Yeah, exactly. Michael on Twitter, Larry Brown was successful at both levels. He won a national title with Kansas. That's right, 88, Danny and the Miracles, and an NBA title with Detroit in 04. He beat the Lakers. Remember, that was rather surprising, wasn't it?
Yes.
Remember that when the Lakers had Karl Malone and Gary Payton? Was it Gary Payton they added?
Yeah, I don't really remember that.
Yeah.
What you're talking about.
And they got beat in like six, or didn't they? Or 6-5, was it?
I vaguely remember that mockery of an NBA Finals that... Literally, I mean, if we're talking about it, that was an aging super team, but it was a super team.
That was Karl Malone's chance to get a title. Remember that?
That's the only reason.
Brought him on board.
Remember, he was one of the more hated mans in L.A.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's right.
There were many bitter feuds, things said that you can't ever take back. But as soon as he threw on a Laker jersey and was... You know, given the chances, like, hey, you're just coming here to play for a title. We were all, because it basically brought Gary Payton to us, too. And it was like, that's fine.
That's right.
Then you got a Shaq somewhat in his prime, almost like, you know, over the just got over the hill prime. But you had a young Kobe Bryant.
Young, yeah. A three-time NBA champion at a young age, Kobe Bryant.
And that was supposed to be it.
Yep. So, yeah, that's right, Larry Brown. And of course, Larry Brown was the head coach of Allen Iverson during the whole practice. We didn't talk about practice. Where hasn't Larry Brown coached? Larry Brown's been around forever. He's coached everywhere.
What's he doing now? Is he coaching now?
I don't know.
What is
I don't
Larry
know.
Brown
I might have
to
look him up. But, yeah, right, Danny and the Miracles. That Kansas team beat Oklahoma for the national title in 88. That's right, Danny Manning. So thank you, Michael, for that on Twitter. So. But guys who have been successful at both levels.
But we weren't talking about, we were talking about being successful at both levels, but what we're trying to figure out is who's had success going back to
Has anybody gone back? Yeah. Yeah, has anybody gone back to the same school? I mean, like tried something in the pros and then came back to the same college?
I mean, I guess we can say, Rick Pitino had some success. Didn't Calipari went to the NBA, right?
Yeah, he did. Coached the Nets.
Okay.
And that wasn't very
obviously
good.
Obviously, he's had success.
Yeah. But he did not do very well.
It's hard
to go back to your old school.
Trying to figure out, has anyone returned back to
their
old school?
How about Bill Snyder? Didn't Bill Snyder at Kansas State, I might need to look this up, Bill Snyder, didn't he coach Kansas State, retire, and then came back? I don't think he left for another gig, but I think he came back. To coach, but that's a little different because you can just take a hiatus.
Just real quick, Larry Brown was last seen in the States coaching at SMU.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Until
Not only was he coaching LSU, he had some good players on SMU. Not only was he coaching SMU, he had some good players on that team. Yeah, they were. That's right. Robert on Twitter.
Lately, he's been coaching, or last year he coached. Got an Italian league, Torino, Auxilium.
I guess coaching is like a drug. You just got to get it somewhere.
But he was fired mid-season.
Was he?
Italians don't know what they're doing.
What a surprise.
Italians firing Larry Brown. They don't, what is that?
Robert on Twitter, Ann Arbor is a scenically beautiful locale. The city has no automotive tradition as most other Michigan cities. Yeah, that's surprising to me. Ann Arbor's great. Ann Arbor's excellent. I love that city. I've only been there once, but it was great. Ann Arbor's awesome. I get it. I think you reach a point, if you're John Beilein, don't you reach a point where you go, if I'm not now, not ever, right? 66? My God, I would love, can you imagine in your life if you could make a career decision at 66 that is so drastically different from anything you know? It's not, I get it, it's basketball. I'm not saying it's drastically different. I'm just talking about the business end of it, like just the way players, you know, recruiting players versus the NBA players and all that. Basketball is still the same. But that's a big deal. That's a big leap at 66 years old. That's impressive, man. Good job. I think Beilein's going to work out in the NBA. SB Nation AM.
SB Nation AM continues now on SB Nation Radio. Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, the dumb. Tuesday morning. Mid-May. Let's get it going with what is good.
So you know
mid-May.
Mid-May, so you know what time of year it is, right?
Yeah, it's mid-May.
Mid-May. Well, it's also graduation time for a lot of schools. And I got two individuals who graduated.
All right.
That we should recognize.
All right, let's do that.
The first being former Cowboys wide receiver Miles Austin.
Miles Austin. That's right. I remember
him. 10 years after he started school. Or actually, not 10 years after he started school. He took a 10-year break from school to do that, you know, that whole NFL thing. And then the other one I want to recognize, too, is Julian Edelman did the same thing. Graduated 13 years after his freshman year.
And Julian Edelman, where did he go to school?
Kent State.
That's right. Kent State. I remember it was notable, but I couldn't remember which one it was.
And then Miles Austin went to Monmouth.
Monmouth, okay, very good. For them.
But what was really cool about Miles Austin, he literally went back to school.
Oh, okay, really?
I mean, he went and was rubbing elbows with the students.
Was he really?
Doing student assignments, probably getting into study groups. How much fun would that have been, man? You're a college kid, and you're like, ah, that guy looks familiar.
That would be pretty cool.
So, I mean, you know, both of them had the same exact reasons for going back to schools that they, you know, want to instill in their kids that, you know, you finish things that you started. And they said they couldn't really be honest with themselves by saying that to the kids if they didn't actually finish what they started. So they both went back and finished what they started.
That's right. Good for them. Yeah. That's awesome. That is a good.
That is a very good. Good of the day. The bad of the day, though.
Now let's get to the bad.
Keeping up with education. We've done. I'm not going to get political on this, but you know we've done something wrong. We've made America's favorite science teacher mad.
Bill Nye.
Is
he America's favorite science teacher?
Well, do you know anybody else who fits the qualification?
No.
Then he has to be America's favorite science teacher.
Yeah, I thought he kind of went off the deep end a little bit. He's been going on these shows and kind of blabbing.
He did, but I mean, this one. I mean. You know, he kind of hit it home, and I don't know. You judge for yourself.
All right.
By the end of this century, if emissions keep rising, the average temperature on Earth could go up another 4 to 8 degrees. What I'm saying is the planet's on fire. There are a lot of things we could do to put it out. Are any of them free? No, of course not. Nothing's free, you idiots. Grow the up. You're not children anymore. I didn't mind explaining photosynthesis to you when you were 12. But you're adults now, and this is an actual crisis. Got it? Safety glasses off, mother.
So we're in trouble if Bill Nye is this upset with us.
Now, what is he? Where is? What's the context of this? What is he on?
He's talking. Oh, he was on John Oliver. I can't remember the name of the show on HBO.
Last week tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, last week tonight, and he's talking about global warming. That's why I'm not trying to get political. I'm just saying we need to stop making him mad at us, because he was one of my favorite things as a kid. When you walked into class and you saw the TV VCR combo sitting there on that rolling cart.
Yeah, that's right.
And once this thing started, it was probably, you know, it was usually him or some weird animal video. And I miss that.
I don't want to get political either, but we're never ever going to make him happy.
There's got to be a way, right?
No, there isn't. No. Because I'm in my mid-40s. All right? I've been hearing the planet's on fire for 35 years. I've been hearing this since I was a kid.
See, I don't want to hear this. I like him.
That means it's never going to happen.
It's never going to change.
Like, there isn't going to be, again, I'm trying not to be political. There is never, ever, ever going to be a day where we will wake up and everyone will go, global warming's over. Lock it up. We're done. We fixed it. It's not true. X versus, like, you do X, you get Y. There will always be this problem. he is never going to calm down. He will be like that now for the rest of his life. And that does make me sad because I think you're right. He's America's science teacher.
He's America's
and
science
teacher.
And now
he's screaming and cursing on an HBO show. And that makes me sad. This is, you know what? This is a little traumatic in a way, even as an adult. Because it's like when you found out, like, hey, Captain Kangaroo, like, you know, he smokes four packs of cigarettes and goes to strip clubs after the kid's show.
Yes.
Like you don't want to see, like, no, if you found out Mr. Rogers was, like, getting out, like, cut, he's like, beep, beep, beep. Who turned off that light? Where's my coffee? Beep. Like if you found out.
Give me my dressing room.
Right, exactly. Leave me alone. If you found that out, you would be like, oh, man.
Well,
see,
that's why, you know, this video, I think, particularly hit home because, I mean, you know, it's profanity laden, which you don't want to hear out of your favorite science teacher.
Right.
But it was the fact that when he did point out that he didn't mind teaching us photosynthesis when we were kids. And I'm like, yes, I remember that.
It's very true.
And now you're yelling at me. It's not my fault. It could be my fault, but it's not my fault. I don't drive a gas-guzzling SUV anymore.
I don't know.
All right, we're moving on. The dumb of the day. And I've struggled with putting this as a dumb. I mean, I almost want to say it's good. But a South African man, a student, got a year of free chicken posing as a KFC quality control taste tester.
Okay, tell me about this story. This sounds awesome.
See, I struggle with it. The only reason why it's dumb is because he found a way to get himself arrested.
Okay, so he just, of all the things to fake, he said, I'm going to fake being a quality control inspector for KFC?
Yes.
What does that entitle?
Like he literally would walk in, clipboard, paper, pencil in hand.
Oh, this is great.
Walk back into the kitchen. One of the employees that they interviewed said he must have worked at a KFC because he knew everything about KFC.
Yeah, okay, that's probably true.
But he would walk back in there. Start asking random questions, you know, do like, man, I'm picturing him like with the white glove, rubbing his finger against the counter, but then also asking for samples of everything so he could taste it. And then he would jot down notes. He would never really tell them, hey, you need to fix this. You need to fix that. He would just report back to corporate.
That's pretty sweet. Now, it would have been a better story if you said, and then he came up with the double down sandwich.
But he wasn't working for the company.
No, he just was hanging around.
The dumb part is, I mean, this seems like a really good gig because if you think about it, if you're a fast food restaurant, you got like some kid manager back there. You just aim for the time, not when like the franchise owner or, you know, the adult manager who probably met the owner.
Right.
You know, met whoever the district manager is and would ask questions. You hit it up when the kid is on his, you know, who's afraid that he just has a job. You hit him up. You just go back there. You develop a little rapport that, hey, I'm the taste quality. You know, corporate sent me down to taste the chicken, maybe some mashed potatoes. Once you throw a biscuit on there, I'll take some of that coleslaw as well. Finish it off with a chocolate chip cookie.
How long did he do this for?
A year.
That's awesome.
He had KFC free for a year now.
So he basically would show up, and I bet it got to a point where you're like, hey, Bob, how you doing, Mike?
Exactly.
Yeah, just check, making sure everything's running.
And it's
great.
And it's at a point where those guys are almost afraid to make a mistake, right?
Well, yeah. And they're probably also afraid to say, what is your guy doing here every other day? They're probably like, well, that's how this corporate works.
Yeah. Well, I imagine he was on a rotation.
Yeah. And good for him.
And the way I'm looking at it, too, is, I mean, can you have KFC every day?
Yeah, that would be hard. It's hard. I don't get anything in every day.
I know, but I mean, it's dumb because he found a way to get himself arrested. I mean, this is a good gig. He could have kept it going.
Can I be honest with you? There's really no reason. That doesn't sound like there was any, how do I put this? I want to put this right. There doesn't seem to be any reason why anybody would make a complaint to get him arrested.
Unless,
does that make sense?
I mean, unless he just happened to walk in at a time where, you know,
yeah,
one of the big wigs was there and going, excuse me.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to. Right.
Or if he showed up when the actual taste tester was there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly. That probably true. But it sounds like somebody would, you know, go in there, right? Just take a couple of things, go, hey, listen, I'm going to write this down. Doesn't sound like it's a big deal. if you're a manager, an employee, like, of course, that's what he does. He's going to take good thanks. He leaves, move on to the next thing. It doesn't sound like it would be something you'd go, man, I don't know about that guy. Let me call the cops.
Right. No, I don't think they, I mean, I think the only time the cops were called is if there was a sting operation.
So how did he get arrested?
That I couldn't find out. I'm still looking for that.
It's one thing to go, well, let's just, when he comes in, tell him to get lost. If we find out he's not a guy, do they want to arrest him for, I mean, like, they're not, what, is he going to pay for all the meals he took? I mean, just move on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess in a way, it's stealing.
It's a theft. Oh, it's 100% theft, yeah.
You know, but
exactly.
I guess, I mean, they could prove it with camera, but they can't, you know, he can't give back the...
That's amazing.
He can't return it.
But what an amazing story. That is an amazing story.
But I thought about it, like, is there a fast food restaurant that you would go after? Like, you know, you would say, you know what, I'll be a taste test quality control taste tester.
That's a good question. I have to think about that one. That's a good question. That I'd want to eat, I mean, like a lot for a year.
Yeah, obviously we're not going to go. I'm not saying, you know, let's have fun. You know, if you're to do it, have fun with it. Don't go, oh, Ruth Chris, duh. You know?
Right.
No. What goofy place, like a KFC, I guess.
Well, I like Chick-fil-A a lot.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A is pretty good. I mean, for me, I guess I'm a Southern California boy. I could do In-N-Out.
In-N-Out? Oh, yeah, well, In-N-Out. If there was one near me, that'd be...
But, I mean, I guess the only problem with that is it's, at least with KFC, there's a little bit of variety. I mean,
yeah.
You can go fried chicken one day, then maybe go grilled chicken the next.
That's right. I heard Eitan Shander talking about the Pizza Hut lunch buffet that they used to have back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was talking about that. And he goes, I don't know if they have that anymore. I don't think they do. But this is like KFC started a buffet.
Yes.
There's one in my town.
Did they really?
Yeah, it's a little dangerous.
What do you do? Oh, is it $5?
Yeah, it's a couple bucks, and then there's a... trays, there's a thing of corn and mashed potatoes and biscuits, and then there's crispy and original and gravy and
but part of the buffet is being able to go back again.
You go back, yeah. You go grab your plate, fill
really?
Up, and then you go back, yeah.
My
go back
Lord,
and get more chicken.
What is happening with our country?
I know, it's nuts.
Although I'm thinking about hitting one up on the way home.
It's crazy.
Then we keep talking about KFC. It's like, you know what? I do. I haven't had it in a long time.
That's
it does
right.
Sound good.
Sounds good.
Is it depressing to buy a bucket of chicken by yourself?
No, it is not.
Do I have to order two drinks with it?
Yeah. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Tuesday, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
NBA Draft Lottery. We think the Knicks, right? But let's pause for a second. Could the big winner tonight be the New Orleans Pelicans? Could they actually win the Zion Williamson sweepstakes?
Via trade.
There's Anthony Davis.
Yep.
There is Anthony Davis. They own an asset, and it's hard to say that, but they own an asset that is wanted, and he doesn't want to be where he's at. Right? So if the Knicks win the Zion Williamson sweepstakes, is it possible that they'll say, well... We're not going to pick Zion Williamson and trade you Zion Williamson. We're not going to trade. No, we're going to just trade you the number one pick for Anthony Davis and however it balances out. Could the Pelicans be? Because the Pelicans are going to get their pick, which is a possible. The Pelicans have, like, if I'm not mistaken, a 6% chance of getting the number one pick. They could be a top. They could have the fourth pick. They could have the fifth pick. What if they pick up Zion Williams? What if they pick the number one too?
That'd be, yeah.
It could be interesting.
I guess it all depends, like, how the envelopes fall, right?
Yeah. We'll see. If I'm the Knicks, though, that's, I mean.
Do they have a list of who's going to be there for each team yet?
No. Well, let me look that up. They probably do.
I mean, because a lot of times it's just front office people, but every once in a while you get a celeb or two.
Patrick Ewing is coaching Georgetown right now. Could they muscle him in for just like, hey, listen, just be our guest person to represent us?
And if they hand you the envelope, can you pretend like it's really, really cold?
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't that be great? You know what? That is,
like,
that would be great. If it, what if
it's cold?
Yeah. What if Patrick Ewing showed up tonight to represent the Knicks and he wore gloves and a wool hat just as a little troll, just to say, I know what you're thinking. That's how I got here. You want to know how I got right here representing the New York Knickerbockers? Just holds up the gloves. Everybody goes, oh,
there
that's
is a list.
How. All right, who's representing the Knicks tonight?
I just want to make sure that this is actual.
Oh, like not from 2 years ago?
Yep. No, this is Tuesday, May 14th, part of the fun of the lottery. However, the personalities each franchise.
All right.
Sends to represent for the Knicks.
I want to hear it. Patrick Ewing. They really did get Patrick Ewing?
Yep.
How did I not know that?
I don't know.
I read just about everything I can. I did not know that. They got Patrick Ewing. That is great. Show up with gloves, Patrick, and a winter hat.
Can you guess who the Cavaliers are sending?
His son again?
Yep, Nick Gilbert.
He was a good luck.
They
got like two first-round picks out of the deal.
Yeah. Suns are sending DeAndre Ayton.
All right, that's not bad.
The Bulls are
sending... And his Sean Miller money? Oh, is it too soon? Sorry.
Horace Grant's going for the Bulls.
That's not bad.
Jamie Gertz for Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, yeah, she's part owner. She's part ownership group, yeah.
Alvin Gentry will be representing the Pelicans.
All right, very good.
And so on and so on.
Yeah, very good. That's interesting. SB Nation AM.